Pastor, I noticed a group of boys standing around a small stray dog. What are you doing, boys? Telling lies, said one. He said, the one who tells the biggest lie gets the dog. The pastor was shocked. Why, when I was your age, I never even thought of telling a lie. And the boys looked at one another, and finally one of them shrugged and said, I guess he wins the dog. Mark Twain once said, when in doubt, tell the truth. It'll confound your enemies and astound your friends. Truth-telling has fallen on hard times in America. Our culture has shifted to an ethics of expediency and pragmatism and self-advancement. So falsehood in America is not only tolerated, but it's encouraged in many cases. If it takes a small lie to complete a sale, that's justified for the good of the company. If we have to enhance over our resume to get a better job, well, then it's considered a competitive edge. Politicians lie, news networks lie, business people lie. As a matter of fact, I think we've turned lying from being a vice in America to now being a virtue. St. Augustine said that when regard for the truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all other things will remain doubtful. And that's the world in which we live. Many years ago, and I believe it'd probably be much worse now, there was a book written called The Day America Told the Truth. And it's an interesting book, and it says that 91% of those surveyed say they lie routinely and consider almost all their lies just trivial. 36% lie about important matters, 86% lie regularly to their parents, 75% lie to their friends, 73% to their siblings, and 69% to their spouses. Not that long ago, Jared Jellison, a writer for USA Today, said in his article, each of us fibs at least 50 times a day. He explained that we lie about our age, our income, our accomplishments, and we use lies to escape embarrassment. The common reason for little white lies, we're told, is to protect someone else's feeling. Yet in doing so, he said, what we're really doing is trying to protect ourselves. He said, the kind of lies we tell all the time, I'm sorry I didn't come, I wasn't feeling well. Maybe you used that. I don't want to hurt your feelings. The check's in the mail. I was just kidding. Well, I was just trying to help people. He also said in this article that there are signals when we lie. Increased blinking and pupil dilation. Facial expression incongruous with what we're being said. Increased body movement, especially hand gestures. Shorter sentences. More speaking pauses and errors. And more negative words and extreme words. So after church today, when you're in the lobby, watch the person. See if those eyes are dilated. You see, it's amazing to me that when we talk about lies and we keep talking about the culture, what we often end up thinking is this, look, I'm not a big liar. I tell some small fibs or little lies. But that is not the road you ever want to be on. The only important question for us as Christians is this. What does God say? What does God say about us lying? I mean, obviously, Exodus 20:16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It made one of the top 10 commandments. But there's something even more to it. I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. Solomon writing, and these verses, 16, 17, 18, and 19, are four of the first verses I ever highlighted in my Bible as I was reading it through for the first time as a new believer. And the reason I thought it is that I just remember reading and it said that there are six things that God hates or Lord hates. And I kind of wanted to know that. I mean, there's not a lot of times that you ever think about the Lord hating. And it said, these are things I hate. So he says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. So he starts out, these are the things God hates. And by the way, it's interesting. The things that God hates are not necessarily things that Christians hate. Christians hate a lot of certain sins, but we don't talk much about these. There are sins we hate. He said, haughty eyes. Well, that makes sense. That's just pride. Anywhere you find it in the Bible, God hates pride. He just does. A lying tongue. Right there. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among those brothers. Did you notice it? God said, there's seven things I hate. And two of them are lying. Wow, if you were thinking of the top two things that God would hate, it wouldn't be that, would it? We think of all kinds of sexual perversion or murders. I think that's what you really want to hate. God says, what I really hate are lying tongues. People who lie. Why is that? Because God is truth. You know, we often talk about the fact that God is love. He is. But God is truth. Everything about God is true. Everything the Father says is true. I've said it in the past, but God works on the high wire of truth. Satan works everywhere above and below and to the sides of the wire with lies, but God only works with truth. When it came to Jesus Christ in John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. Jesus said in John 14, 17, I will ask a Father and he will give you another helper. That is the Spirit of truth. God is a God of truth. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Titus 1, 2, Paul said, God cannot lie. You see, everything is based on truth. Now, I want you to think of something here. Think of the consequences of truth. Truth builds trust, confidence, integrity. It builds stability in people's lives and security. That's what truth does. What do lies do? Well, lies bring about suspicion, doubt, resentment, conflict, and withdrawal. If God's going to say one thing to you and I over and over again, it's don't lie. Don't lie. Joe Stoll says, this erosion of trust and confidence weakens every relationship into which non-truth is injected. Homes are victimized. Governments become suspect. Media information is viewed with skepticism. Business relationships wear the shrouds of suspicion. No relationship can survive, let alone succeed, if it's based on that which is false. And yet, as a culture, we lie. And we lie all the time. Now, if God is truth, where does all this lying come from? I want you to go with me now to John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8. And verse 31. Jesus is once again confronting his religious enemies, as he does often. And it says, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, these are the believing Jews, first, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue to believe what I'm telling you, notice what he says then, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you what? Free. That's the beauty of truth. You know, one of the great things about truth, by the way, if you speak the truth, you never have to remember what you said. Boy, but when you lie, and some of us multiple lie, so you got to remember, now which lie did I tell this person when I was talking about this? You see, he says the truth will make you free. Now, it's interesting, the religious Jews said, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? That's funny. See how funny that is? Let me ask you a question. Abraham's descendants, were they ever enslaved by the Egyptians? Ever? Oh, yeah. For a very long time. By the way, Is Rome in the land right now? Does Judea and Israel belong to Rome? Yes. Nope, not us. We don't need to be free. We're Abraham's descendants. You will become free. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Don't you get it? If you sin, you're a slave to it. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. He uses the analogy between a child born in the house and a slave. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. Now they're wondering, what's he talking about now? They answered and they said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you what? The truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. They knew his history. He's an illegitimate child from Galilee. His mother fornicated to have a baby. They knew that story. So they took a shot at him. I love this. He ignores that. He said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, and I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You see, it's an interesting thing. One of the problems being a fallen human being is, when it comes to God's truth, in our flesh, we don't get it. We don't. Remember, Paul said to the Corinthians, a natural man cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. And that's what's always interesting. If you're talking about what Jesus Christ has said and done for people to people often, what's the response you get? What? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. It's because you cannot hear my word. Now, here he goes straight at him. You are of your father, the devil. That's a straight insult. But here's something about it. It's the truth. You see, this is the truth. You are of your father, the devil. He said, now notice. He says, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and he's the father of lies. But because I speak truth, you don't believe me. Notice what he says. He says the devil was a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were murdered spiritually. They both died spiritually. The day you eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, that day you will surely die, and they did. And then it was a physical. He physically caused Cain to murder Abel. 1 John tells us that the devil was behind Cain murdering his brother. He's a murderer. But I want you to think about the fall from another point of view. Why did the fall happen? Because he's a liar. And he told lies. You see how this works? He's called, that's the deception of it. He is a liar. So he said, first thing he starts out with Eve, he says, has God said, and then Eve got a little bit confused. And she said, well, he said we can eat of any tree in the garden except the one. But if we eat or even touch that tree, we'll die. Well, God never said you can't touch the tree. He just said don't eat of the tree. So consequently then, what ends up happening? What does Satan say to her? The lie. You will not die. You will be just like God. There's the lie. And note what the scripture says? Eve was deceived, but Adam sinned willfully. You see, the lie brought Eve in. That's what he does. It's a deception. And by the way, let me explain something. He is great at this. I mean, he's amazing at this. He is such a tremendous. It says in scripture that when he fell from heaven, one third of the heavenly host fell with him. Now, there are tens of millions of angels. Now, one thing about if you're an angel in heaven, have you ever experienced God? Yep, they did. So he leads a rebellion, and one third said, we're going with him. Now, how could you deceive one third of all the angels to leave and go in rebellion against God? You're really good at deception. You see, he's really good at it, and that's what he says. That's the way he worked. He said, he does not stand for the truth. Whenever he speaks, he lies from his nature. He is the father of lies. Let's look at it from another point of view. If God is truth, when I speak truth, who am I like? God. Okay, if Satan is the father of lies and I speak lies, who am I like? Yeah. That's what God said, you must not lie. That's why I said, I hate it. I hate the lying tongue. You see, and littlest things mean so much. There are so many ways that we've invented words. Two words we love in our culture is the word fib, which is interesting, and the word white lie. Listen, there is no such thing as a white lie. Here's what a lie is. It's a lie. Okay, but we do this all the time. The smallest words. Okay, let me read something to you. Woman without her man is a beast. Okay, I'm going to change the punctuation. Woman without her, man's a beast. Was there any difference in what I said? It's exactly the opposite. The words are the same. The deception's in the punctuation. See, the words don't change at all. The first sin was a sin as a result of deception. Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is a sign of a wicked heart. That's what he's saying. That's why lying should have no place to us. One writer said, and think about our culture. This is what he wrote. Legal restraints such as truth in advertising. These are all new things. Truth in advertising. Truth in lending. Truth in testimony. Demonstrate how prevalent deceit is in our way of life. The result of the undermining of our confidence through the deceit in media, government, business, politics, and tragically even the church have given a whole new word label to the American culture, credibility gap. Isn't that interesting? By the way, you ever watch TV and they're reporting something to you or saying something to you? And what do you think? I don't think so. You see, and by the way, if you do that enough, even when they tell you the truth, what do you think? I don't think so. You see, we become skeptical because it's rampant in our culture. You see, Satan has big lies in this sense of for everybody and little lies that you can utilize in your own life. I'll give you a big religious lie. It's the biggest religious lie in our culture. It's a lie, but let me say it. It comes right from Satan. Be as good as you can and you'll go to heaven. You just need to be sincere. Every poll I've ever read said most Americans believe that. That's tragic. It's just tragic. Just be as good as you can. God will grade on the curve and he'll say, I'll let you in. How tragic is that? It's a lie. Mankind is the result of a very chance evolutionary process. We are a cosmic accident. We are protoplasm waiting to become manure and nothing else. It's a lie. How about this one? Success can be measured by wealth, cars, and houses. Americans believe that? Come on. Yes. I'll give you another big lie. If you want to be happy in America, all you need is a little more. The key to being happy is more. No matter what you have, you need more. There's no happiness in that. That's not what the scriptures teach at all. Or this one, freedom is found in doing anything you want to do. Boy, that's big, especially among young people. That's freedom. You know what Jesus said? He who sins is a slave to sin. That's not freedom. So many people have struggled with that kind of lie. Again, Joe Stoll says, why do we rely so readily Lying is a quick and easy way to gain an advantage, protection, and promotion of our personal interest. We lie to get people's attention and have them think more highly of us. We lie to get rich or get elected. We lie to protect our reputations. We lie to escape punishment. And most lies are the dedicated servants of me. That's why we lie. So, how do we respond as people? Well, two responses. One of them's pretty obvious. The biggest reason you shouldn't lie is you're commanded by God not to. I mean, you can't go much clearer than that. Beside the Ten Commandments, Leviticus 19:11, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. All commands. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in the people who are trustworthy. But there's another reason that you and I should never lie. And it also gives us the reason why we can live our lives without lying. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul's concluding this little epistle. That's why the therefore is therefore in verse 1. And then he wants to start out with a supposition that you and I understand. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, that's a first-class condition in Greek of an assumption. It means since, or I assume, and it's true. If you have been raised up with Christ, and it's true, or since you have been raised up with Christ, that's a basic fact of our faith. Since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of earth. Now, it's interesting. He says, since you've been raised up with Christ, the focus of your life has to be on Christ. Now, this is a very important truth. Some of you understand it and some of you struggle. One of the most important things of understanding Christianity is that your identity with Jesus Christ. You're not just a believer in what Jesus Christ did. You identify with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the certainty of glory. Christ resides in me, and I reside in him. That's why Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2 and says that you and I, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, are seated in the heavenlies. Wait a minute. Why am I seated in the heavenlies? Because Christ is seated in the heavenlies, and I'm in Christ. Christ is in me, and I am in him. So what he wants to say that in that verse is that, look, if that's the case, he said, set your mind on the things above and not on the things of earth. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. In other words, when I speak, one of the things I want to understand is this. Almost always when I lie, I kind of believe that these lies that I tell you are just between you and me. That's the key. What I say is between you and me. And if I can deceive you in some way to think better of me, that's the advantage of the lie. You see, I can tell you things and you'll think differently of me. But what he says, Paul says, don't do that. You see, seek the things above. If I'm in Christ, then Christ is in me. How about this? Whenever I speak, I'm speaking to him. Now, I got to be honest, when I tell a lie, I feel kind of stupid. Why? He already knew I was going to lie. But now I feel, hey, Lord, this is a lie. I'm going to tell Ralph a lie here completely. He's going to think better of me because of it. Well, you see how foolish this feels. When you speak... The Lord hears every word, and by the way, he knows every thought. So he said, you need to carry that perspective. It might help you when it comes to lying. Then he goes on a little bit further and says this. When Christ, verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you understand that? Notice what he said. You're dead. You're dead. I don't feel dead, do you? See, here's the point. In that identity, where I am, Christ is. Where Christ is, I am. But Paul says, especially to the Romans, it goes much further than that. Here's what he says. Where Christ was, you were. That's your identity. So Paul says in Romans, when Christ went to the cross, you went to the cross. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ was raised, you were raised. That's how strong your identity is with Christ. That's why Paul writes to the Colossians and says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ and with God. You see, that's who I am. I'll say it a little more in a moment. Hopefully it becomes clear. He said, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is a certainty. This part's pretty cool. Do you think there's going to be a time in the future when totally glorified, the Son of God is going to be revealed over all creation? Yeah, that's glory. Guess who else is going to get revealed? Bill. You see that? That's you. See, that's what he just said. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So I know where the future is. I know what it means. I have that future certitude, that hope in Jesus Christ. He says, yeah, that's what's going to happen to you. Wow. Now, let's go back to how we talk. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which all amounts to idolatry. You see, this comes to this idea of lying. Maybe someone here has had it happen, but I'm going to just go out on a limb here. How many of you have had a dead person lie to you? I guess no one, huh? Now, we've seen dead persons lie, but we've never heard a dead person lie. God just said, you're a dead person. Well, wait, but I don't feel like that. Well, wait. There's a word in there that I skipped over that is going to make this verse work. The second word of verse 5. Therefore, consider. There it is. Same word he uses in Romans. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead. This is the part we have to do. You see, from a positional point of view, as Paul says, I'm dead, but I'm alive in Christ. However, that's why Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ lives in me. That's Paul's sentence about this whole thing. But here he says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. I have to believe it. I have to trust that. I have to show my faith with that. I have to consider myself dead. Otherwise, if I don't consider myself dead, guess what I'll do? I'll still be immoral, impure, full of passion, evil desire, greed, and all of its idolatry. I'll just keep living the same way. See, I can be a Christian, but I can live the same way as I lived beforehand. But I shouldn't. The only thing stopping us is us. He says, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them, notice, you also once walked or lived when you were living in them. I used to be a liar. I don't have to be a liar now. You see, I used to do things before I came to Christ, but I don't have to do things now. But I have to consider this or believe this to be true. So he says, but now you also put them aside. See, I have to put it aside. That's up to me. And that's one of the reasons Christians never do this. We never put them aside. So we end up living our life out of our flesh, just like we lived before we became a Christian. The only difference is when we die, we'll be able to go to heaven. Isn't that nice? We'll be able to get to heaven, but heaven's not getting to us. Simply because of what we won't put it aside. He said, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices. You know what I'm telling? I know. Do you know why I lie? Not because I have to. Because I want to. That's why I lie. Because I won't put that aside. I won't. And I understand what God does. It's not like God's just telling us this. The Holy Spirit of God indwells every child of God. Every child. So that means not only can I know the truth, but I can obey the truth because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the point would be, I have all the capacity to live rightly before God that I need. I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Word of God. The only thing that stops me from living that way is me. You see, that's the problem. And that's why he said, look, whatever you do, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. Paul said it differently to the Corinthians, but it's the same idea. You need to know that you are a new creature in Christ. That's what the Bible says. You're a new creature in Christ. Then he says this, and just a couple things have passed away. Nah. All things have become new. Everything. See, I don't have to live the way I lived. All things have become new to me and to you. And he says, then he said, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and the evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And he said, it applies to all of us, a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. But Christ is all and in all. You see, I have to put aside and put on. I have to put aside the old me and put on my identity with Christ. And whenever that happens, guess what happens? You tell the truth. You stop lying. You see, that becomes the whole identity. The biggest reason in the world that I can be truthful is that I'm a new creature in Christ. The old Bill couldn't be. But the new creature in Christ can be. You see, and that's why it's such a God hates lying, but I can't even imagine how he feels about it with his children. The people who have his spirit. And every day they go out and tell lies. You see, I'm just going to talk in lies. Well, I've always been that way. I've always been prone, a good word, I've always been prone to exaggeration. It's a pretty fine line between exaggeration and a lie, isn't it? We would call a lie a great exaggeration. God said, I will call a lie a lie. It's pretty simple. All right relationships are based on truth. All of them. Your relationship with God is based on simple truth. And the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loved you so much, he sent his son into the world. The son loved you so much, he lived the perfect life. He then allowed man to take him and put him and nail him to a cross. And there he bore the sins of the world and the wrath of God. And then he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And if you believe that and trust in that, he promises you, you've been born again into the family of God and you possess eternal life. That's the truth. And without the truth, no one will ever have a relationship with God. You see, that's how we relate to God. But on the other hand, how do we relate rightly to other people? We relate lightly by telling them the truth. Truth is at the heart of every single relationship we have. You know, one thing I've noticed over all the years, marriages that I admire a lot, when I get to know them, they tell each other the truth. They just do. You see, what a basis of a relationship. You see, if you've been married to someone you can't trust at all, it's a horrible existence. You see, that the deception of something like that is just an amazing thing, and that becomes the issue. Even when you bring into something into a marriage that's destructively difficult for a marriage is adultery. That's rough. But you know what's rougher? All the deception. That part's hard to get over. Because when there's adultery, there's all this deception, all these lies that people keep perpetrating to continue this thing going on. It's deception. And so even though when someone forgives the adultery, they become extremely suspicious when that person tells them something that person knows to be true. But they think, I think they might be deceiving me again because they told me this before and it was a lie. A good relationship is based on truth. And you and I have the capacity to not lie and to speak the truth because you and I are new creatures in Christ. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me, including speaking the truth. Let's pray. Father, this is a subject matter that touches all of our lives. It's so easy for us because of a desire to avoid embarrassment or pain or anything that's negative in our lives, to simply deal with it by telling what we would call a little white lie. But Father, that is not the way to become more like our Savior. That is not how we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and become conformed to his image. May all of us examine our own heart and say, do I tell the truth? Are my relationships based on the truth? First with you, God, and then with others. Father, I know that we have the capacity to do so because your word is clear. We are new creatures in Christ, and all the old things have passed away. I pray this, Father, for our good and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.